Ruth chapter 2, the verses 8 to the end of the chapter, where it says, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field where they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.' So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' And Boaz answered and said to her, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge.' Then she said, 'Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.' Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread into the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she arose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Let also grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.' So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, so she brought out also what she had and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.' Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'This man is a relative of ours, one of our close relatives.' Ruth the Moabitess said, 'He also said to me, "You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest." And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that the people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Well, we come now to the explanation of that word. But before we start, let's start with a word of prayer. Let us pray. And gracious Father, we come to you on this day, a day when we remember how you rose from the grave, a day when you brought joy into the world, as we have a way to be saved from our sin. We ask, Lord, as we look at this passage, that we will see how even in here there's a turning point in our lives, a turning point that made Naomi rejoice for you. We ask that you'll also help us to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of our sermon is Life's Turning Points. Thanksgiving. He is our kinsman redeemer. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one April day in 1945, Harry S. Truman wrote to his mother, "I had hurried to the White House to see the president, and when I got there, I found out I was the president." Truman, of course, assumed the presidency at Franklin Roosevelt's death. What a difference a day can make. One day made a huge difference in Ruth's life also. She went to the fields one day to glean as a poor widow with no prospects for the future. And by the end of the day, she found herself to be the object of special attention and affection of a man named Boaz, who would change her destiny. At that time, Ruth did not know who Boaz was, but she certainly found out when she arrived home and gave the news to Naomi. I want you to notice something in our text. Did you notice the change in Naomi's attitude? She was no longer bitter as we met her in chapter 1. In chapter 1, her life was falling apart, but now God is putting her life back together. What made the difference? Boaz arrived on the scene. And that reminded me of an old Ray Stevens song, "Then Along Came Jones." You might remember it too. It's about a poor lady in distress who was rescued from a despicable villain by a tall, lanky hero. The lyrics go like this. I plopped down in my easy chair and turned on Channel 2. A bad gunslinger named Salty Sam was chasing poor, sweet Sue. He trapped her in an old sawmill and said with an evil laugh, "If you don't give me the deed to your ranch, I'm going to saw you all in half." And then he grabbed her, and the female voice in the background says, "Help, he grabbed me." And then he tied her up, and the female voice says, "Help, he's tying me up." And then he turned on the bandsaw. "Help, help, he turned on the bandsaw." And then, well, then comes the chorus. And then along came Jones. Tall, thin Jones, slow-walking Jones, slow-talking Jones, along came long-legged, lanky Jones. Now I know some of you are thinking, what in the world does this have to do with the book of Ruth? Well, here's the tie-in. Boaz is the tall, thin, slow-walking, slow-talking, long, lanky Jones of the book of Ruth. This will become more evident as we go through the book itself. But let's look at how this turning point happened in Naomi's life and in Ruth's also. First, we have Ruth reporting back, and we see a new word on Naomi's lips. See if you can figure out what it is. Taking the barley that she had harvested, Ruth heads back into town to see Naomi. Remember, she had harvested an ephah worth of barley. Now, this would certainly provide plenty of them to eat for almost a week. The barley Ruth brought home with her was more than five times as much as what Naomi had expected her to bring. And she had roasted grain left over from lunch beside that. But something else happened that had Naomi's attention. Not only had she gathered all this barley, but she seems to have a protector. Naturally, Naomi has several questions as to what exactly happened that day. Finally, Ruth reveals the man's name of where she had worked. It was Boaz. For Naomi, this was the most spectacular news she had heard all day. Her old attitude about life changed. Look with me at verse 19 and 20. Then Naomi asked Ruth, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So Ruth told Naomi with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz." And Naomi said to Ruth, "May he be blessed of the Lord, the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead." Naomi then said to Ruth, "This man is a relative of ours. He is our kinsman redeemer." She remembered that Boaz was related to her husband, and that according to the law of Moses, Boaz might be able to help them if he were willing and able. "Blessed be the man who took notice of you, her responses are joyous and quite revealing of her own heart. God bless him," she says. In verse 19, Naomi saw what Ruth had brought home, and so she acknowledges that Boaz had been kind and that the Lord had been at work. The words "the Lord" are again on her lips, but this time she blesses the Lord with her words, instead of speaking bitterly about him and blaming him for all her troubles. It might sound like Naomi is saying, "God is truly working in our lives now and blessing us." But no, in fact, she is saying, "God has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." Note the word "blessed" that is used in both verses 19 and 20. Previously, Naomi has been bitter. Bitter because of her empty house, her empty heart, and her empty hands. She found nothing to rejoice in. But now she's using this new word, "blessed." The word is the key to getting victory over a bitter, despondent spirit. It is always in getting our eyes off of our circumstances, and to get our eyes on the blessings of God. Naomi is to be praised for blessing the Lord now that things are going her way. But she should have been thankful to God and blessing his name even when she was in the trial. As expressed in the first song we would have sung today, "Blessed be your name." While we're going through trials, Jesus teaches us to lift our eyes to the loving God and be thankful for all his goodness and his blessings in the trial, and to trust him as we go through them. In Psalm 121 it says, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time and even forevermore." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the verses 16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Even with this news, there was even more good news to come for them. The second thing we notice in this chapter is a new hope in Naomi's heart because of, well, a number of things. But firstly, who Boaz is. Naomi finally exclamation of who Boaz is in a word, joyous. He's our relative. He's family. He can take care of us. The phrase he uses in the NIV is guardian redeemer. This literally means our kinsman redeemer, or in the Hebrew, Goel. The Goel is a close relative who had the privilege or responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble or in danger. Notice the focus is not on the possible budding relationship with Boaz and Ruth, nor is it even on the fact that Naomi rejoices in what God is doing for her family. It's all on Boaz and the fact that he could redeem us. Ruth would not have given this much thought, but it's critical for us to see what God is doing and has done and will do. Naomi, in effect, is saying, Boaz is the man who is capable of redeeming not just us, but our whole family as well. God has given them someone in their life who can actually help them survive. And he has done the same for us. Survive for eternity. Now, according to the Mosaic laws, there are four places in the law of Moses about this kinsman redeemer and how he is to save his extended family from poverty and extinction. And we'll get the idea as summarized by these two. The first is Leviticus 25, the verses 47 to 55. And in a nutshell, this passage says that if a Jew became bankrupt or poor beyond the ability to survive and had to sell his property, as Elimelech had done before he went, or had to sell himself into servitude, one of his kinsmen, his relatives, could redeem him. That is, essentially pay off the debt and buy him back. If the kinsman paid the price, the new owner had no choice but to sell back the lost property to the kinsman redeemer and to release the servant from his servitude. So basically, this would mean that Boaz could buy back Elimelech's family property that had been lost in the time of poverty when they had departed for Moab. The property would then have been given up when they left. But also note that the wife of the deceased also went with the property. The second law relating to the kinsman redeemer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 25, the verses 5 to 10. And that dealt with the marriage aspect. This law said that if a man died, his brother would marry the widow and raise the firstborn child in the name of his dead brother, if he was able and willing to do it. The kinsman was also required to maintain the deceased man's inheritance until the child was old enough to receive it. Naomi saw both these laws combined in Boaz, their close relative. Boaz could marry Ruth according to the law in Deuteronomy 25, giving Ruth and Naomi someone to provide for them. He could also redeem Elimelech's property, thus fulfilling the law of Leviticus 25. But we will explore how all this works next week. Secondly, we are encouraged and hopeful because of what Boaz did. What did he do? He took a personal interest in Ruth. Out of all the people working in his field, he took particular notice of the foreigner named Ruth and spoke kindly to her. But more than that, he said he would protect her and provide generously for her, even telling the reapers to drop handfuls of grain on purpose for her to glean. When Naomi saw that the grain that Ruth had gathered, she was amazed. Remember? She knew that someone had been extra kind to Ruth. Then she found out it was Boaz who had helped Ruth. And she realized he could do more than just that. The word Goel may not have meant much to Ruth. But she continued on. Boaz has also said it's okay to stay and continue working until the finish of all of the harvest. To them, it meant one thing. We can survive on this income coming from Boaz. Finally, we are then encouraged and hopeful because of what Boaz said. Look at verse 21. Ruth said, "He also said to me, 'Stay with my young men until we have finished all of my harvest.'" Note that little phrase at the end of the verse, "until they have finished all my harvest." I believe that Ruth was saying to her, at the end of the harvest, something special is going to happen. "Stay in my field until the harvest is over. My men will protect you." It's odd that Boaz was so insistent that Ruth not go to another field to glean. I think Boaz had some special plans in mind at the end of the busy harvest. Ruth recalled his exact words and said them to Naomi, and they were both cheered by them. Therefore, for a period of about 7 weeks, Ruth continued to work the field. Boaz became their kinsman redeemer in a way which was vital to them. In Old Testament times, this meant that he would assume the family responsibility. He would become the provider, the protector, and the overseer of them. But Boaz had not claimed to do all that yet. Yes, he provided for them and protected Ruth, but he had not assumed all of the kinsman redeemer roles. That's what we'll see next week. So then, what does that mean for us in our study? Well, we as Christians can have the same encouragement in Jesus as Boaz depicts for us here in this chapter. We have a great hope in our hearts because of who Jesus is. Jesus is our Redeemer. He has purchased us from the slave market of sin and paid the price for us. As 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For you know that you were not redeemed with perishable things, such as silver or gold, from your futile way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." Second, we can have a hope as believers because of what Jesus did. So what did he do for us? Well, where do we begin? First, he taught us who God is. Then he died for our sins. He gives us a new life with fulfillment and purpose. He gave us eternal life. He gave us the Word of God to guide us through our lives. And he gave us a spiritual family in the church. And he gave us the greatest gift of all, the precious Holy Spirit, to empower, to encourage, to convict and guide us. And he has given us so much more each and every day. Third, we can have this hope as believers because of what Jesus said. He said many wonderful things that give us hope, such as, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's found in John chapter 14. Or this promise, found in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give to them eternal life, that they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Or even this one from Romans chapter 8, the verses 38 to 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Though for us, Jesus is our Redeemer already. For Ruth Boaz needed a little push. But we'll see that next week. The last thing we see is there's a plan for the future. So she stayed close to the young men and women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, and lived with her mother-in-law. Ruth didn't sit around twiddling her thumbs, waiting to see what Boaz would do. She went right back to the field and labored right on through the barley harvest and then the wheat harvest. But I believe she returned to the field with a new attitude, a new purpose, because the situation now was different. For she knew the Lord, or the master of the harvest. Ruth was now more than just a foreign alien laborer in that field. She had the special care and attention of the Lord of the harvest. He spoke to her and invited her to eat with him and the other workers. He cared for her and had plans for her future. Ruth's labor was not the dismal labor of a slave, but the joyful labor of someone who had great expectations in their Lord. You and I should follow Ruth's example as we serve in our field of service for God, wherever that may be, with a heart of love and gratefulness. Remember back in verse 2, she said, "Let me now go to the field." May God help us to work for the Lord with such willingness to be used. Look also at verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. She made good use of the time she had to work. Jesus said, "The night is coming when no one can work," in John chapter 9. You and I cannot be sure of any time except now to work for God. We must do all we can while there is still time. Well, as we'll see, Boaz turned out to be the answer to all of Ruth and Naomi's problems. When we see Ruth talking to Naomi about the Lord of the harvest, and Naomi's realization of what this might mean, we see the turning point of the whole story of the book of Ruth. Up till now, Naomi has been miserable because of her losses. Ruth is a foreigner, returning with her with no real prospects. But she goes laboring in a field. Nothing more. But from this point on, Naomi is rejoicing. Ruth has been given some protection and provision by Boaz for them both, with the promise of more to come besides, because he is their kinsman redeemer. So with us, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is ours. No more than that. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is your Boaz, your mighty man of wealth and reputation. He is your tall, thin, long, lanky Jones. Consider all he is to you, all he has done for you, all he has said to you in his word. If you and I will just keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and do our work the way he wants us to, before long, we will be saying with David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Even in these discouraging times, God was still unfolding his plan to bring full redemption to the entire world through Jesus Christ, his Messiah, and our Redeemer. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do thank you that you are our Redeemer. We thank you that you have said that you will save us from our sins. You have died on the cross so that we know that we are forgiven. You have risen from the grave to show us that you have victory over death. You have conquered everything that would separate us from God. All we have to do is accept you as our Redeemer. Just as Ruth needed to accept that Boaz might be hers. We ask, Lord, that as we go out from this place, that we may remember to glory in you and all that you have done for us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.